It's often thought that men who express their emotions are seen as weak. Right now, we'll show you just how wrong that is. It's Triple M's Real Men Can Talk.
Yes, indeed, the chat to show that blokes can come together, have a talk. My name is Ben. Today, we're joined by AFL legend for both Adelaide and Melbourne, a very much loved member of the Triple M family as well, Mr. Bernie Vince. Hello, mate.
G'day, Benny. How are we?
Mate, I'm good. This is a different format for you and me to be sitting here having a chat like this.
Yes, it is, mate. Very different. But I think it's important. I think it's great that we are sitting down like this, Benny.
Well, usually, you know, you, me and Jars and the boys, we pile on each other. We like to have a beer and we talk a fair bit of shit. But today I wanted to actually talk a little bit more about that and to show that blokes can actually talk about emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Triple M's No Talk Day is exactly that, starting the conversation. What's your thoughts on the day, Bern?
I think anything, and it's become, we're a lot better, a lot more accepting, I reckon, in today's society than we used to be. And anything that can raise awareness or make it easier for people that are going through this or are affected by it, anything that helps in any small way, which I think the No Talk Day is a great day to raise awareness because people ask questions, why this, when they hear things and they're like, oh, this is affecting me. If it helps just one person, I think it's a great thing that we're doing because it is very tough to talk. And, you know, I was brought up in Stansbury on the York Peninsula, and I think it's like, it's for men, it's hard to talk, but I reckon it's even harder if you're from the country and you've meant to be seen as tough. And and there's not a lot of, I guess, accessible, you know, there's no one really to speak to. Everyone knows everyone. So there's no one really to speak to there that could be private or confidential. So, I mean, I've been lucky. I haven't gone through anything like that, but I've had people or friends and that go through it. And I just think the resources in country areas, especially when I was growing up, and I didn't really know what it was either. So it might have been there a little bit if you went looking for it, but I just feel like a lot of people were, they try and be tough and go, no, I'll deal with this. But the best thing is to go and see someone or get help, or if it's your friend that's speaking to you, advise them to go and get help.
Have you ever had a mate come to you and say, Bern, I'm not okay?
Yes, I have. I'm currently going through it with a good friend of mine. So, yeah, it's been different. Not so much. It's a bit like with him, it's a bit like us. Like we have a beer, have a laugh, take the piss right out of each other as much as any of my mates. Mm. And, yeah, it's a different chat. It's almost like you put a different hat on to have that conversation and then you take that hat off later on, but you know that hat's always there, you know, with him, it's always there, that hat. So, it would come on, I'm using a bit of an analogy here, but that hat comes back on at different times and he can't control that. So, I'm always there for him if he needs it. And
for, as blokes, how's that space feel for you? Is it something new to share and to talk and to?
Oh yeah, it's completely new. You know, I'm someone that would, well, when we first started talking, it was almost like, how do I lighten the situation? Or, you know, not make a joke of the situation, but lighten it, make jokes of things. But that's not how to deal with it either. Not that I did that. I felt like that would be the best way. Then I had to think about it. I'm like, nah, this isn't not the time or the place. But huge courage from him to do that.
Because I was going to say, there's that stigma in it about blokes who cry, we're weak.
Yeah.
Or if we actually sook up, we get caught. Like we do that exactly. We sook up and we get called that.
Yep.
Would you see that as a sign of weakness, what your mate's done, or a sign of strength?
Nah, strength. It's amazing that he's done it. Didn't expect it. Didn't really know it, to be honest. So, yeah, certainly not expecting it. But, I think it's made us even closer as well. So, and then we're always there for him whenever. And he's dealing with it pretty well, though.
That's good. What about you though, Bern? Is there a time? Let's start somewhere and see where you go. Because I know you said to me before we started talking, I don't know what to say in this space and stuff like that. But you're a bloke. I promise you probably got feelings in there somewhere, Bern.
Yeah, no, I do.
So let's say you're starting to feel a bit overwhelmed or a bit low. How do you manage that space as a bloke?
I'm sort of like, I probably need to get better at it, to be honest, with myself. I just keep charging on. I've got a very busy life, so I just, you know, there's always something to do, you know, no matter how I'm feeling, there's always something to do either that day or the next day, or basically working. Not that that's an excuse for not dealing with it at the time, but I've always, there's something happening in my life all the time. So it's that busy that I don't really, if I'm feeling that way, I don't really reflect or think about it. I just keep moving on. I'm like, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it. Which is probably where I could get better, is probably sit back and actually reflect how I'm feeling. It's not, I feel like doing that's probably selfish. I feel that's a bit selfish. Like, well, I'm the, at home, I'm the man of the house type thing. And this is a bad stigma probably for blokes, that I'm the man of the house. If I show a sign of weakness, what's that going to do to filter down to Abby, my wife, kids? So I'm always, even if I'm not quite right, or not that I haven't been that bad, to be honest. I just, if I get those sort of feelings you ask when you ask that question, I just sort of just keep moving on and just put almost put on a front, because I feel like I've got to be the strong, you know, tough, not that you're tough at home, but the one that can handle anything basically at home. And you take almost take the family or the household's problems on board with you, and you can deal with them. So then it makes it better for other people. But to get better at that would probably, now I know a little bit more about it, you probably, the reflection part's probably the, or the self-assessment part's probably more important than anything, because that way you can make a decision on what to do next. Or that's what my mate that I know is going through it, is that's a big thing with him, is like self-assessment type thing, like and asking yourself questions. Whereas I probably saw that as, it makes a lot of sense now I've heard it, but I sort of thought that was, you know, thinking of yourself is almost selfish, but it's not, it's the opposite.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I agree. I think to be a good husband and to be a good dad, I know you got two kids, you need to take that time. Just before, when you said, you know, you tend to get on with it or busy life, do you find that that then bubbles up elsewhere in your life because you haven't spoken about it? And I only say that because I've obviously, Chris Dittmar's joined me on this this podcast, and he talked about how he too struggles in that space, and he finds himself getting potentially angry at his family, even though he, and so basically almost takes it out on them.
Yeah,
is that something you find yourself doing, or
just probably like we got a at the moment got a 3.5 month old, and obviously the 2 year old or 2.5 year old, and yeah, sometimes I do feel like that. It's, you know, you come home from work or something, and then you're straight into work, almost working again. Where it feels like work when you get home looking after the kids. So I don't get angry at them. Sometimes I get a little bit like frustrated that, you know, that you can't have that. Maybe quiet time, or, you know, just a bit of downtime, I suppose, when you get home from work. It's like almost straight into it. But I've used in the past, I used a bit of, and this is more when I was playing footy, but I delve into it a little bit at times. There's a bit of meditation stuff. So, and it's just an app that actually Tammy Ruse, when Rusey was coaching Melbourne, was big into meditation and all that stuff. So, and she brought it into the footy club, and a lot of the boys got into it, and well, the team got into it a fair bit. And yeah, it's something I continued after footy a little bit. And if I'm sort of feeling like that or a little bit low on energy, I just not that I'm, because I don't do it regularly. She does it like a few times a day.
Yeah, sure.
I just do it every now and then, and I'm not that great at it, but it does. It gives you a time, even though you don't know it, you probably subconsciously you're actually reflecting a little bit while you're doing it. So that's a good way for me, and it's a bit of time by yourself too. It's only sort of 15-20 minutes, so you can do it as long as you want, and that's sort of a good little outlet for me.
Can we potentially look at a time in your life where it was hard for you emotionally, whether that was personally playing footy? Was there a time when you actually felt overwhelmed?
Yeah, I can't, like, no point in time stands out a lot. There's always times where you're feeling flat, and I'm sure it's probably getting back to that self-assessment thing. I didn't really assess myself. I was probably feeling like that, but I'd just keep moving on and, you know, keep a smile on my face, keep trying to make everyone have a better time as well. That's, I've always been like that since I was a kid, really. There's probably times where I did battle, but I'm just someone that moves on really quick. So I just can't really think of anything that stands out. It's more that being people that have spoken about it to me that sort of gone, oh, well, you know, what is this?
Would you say, like, I don't know what it was like growing up in your house, but was your dad an emotional bloke? Or, and I ask that specifically because a lot of the generation, like myself, I'm 36, and, you know, that sort of space with my dad didn't really happen until we got older. Was that similar for you when you grew up?
Yeah, dad's not emotional at all. Mm. The whole family, even his brothers and even parents. So he's not emotional. Maybe that's where I get it a little bit from being, he's always been, the tough guy at home as well, which, and he's always trying to make everyone's lives better as well and, fun to hang around and smile on the face type thing. But that's maybe where I get it from. So, yeah, he didn't show much emotion whatsoever.
Do you think that'll be different for you with your little boy, Harvey?
A little bit. I feel like I've tapped into my emotions a little bit more since I've had kids. Like if I see anything, and I hate to say it, but, kids that are sick or are battling or struggling with things, I don't know what it is, but you put yourself in the parent situation and that gets me. Yeah, it gets me now. Whereas before I had kids, it's very sad and we did a lot of stuff for charities and in hospitals and stuff when I was playing footy, but it didn't hit home like it does now. And you feel so lucky to have a couple of healthy little kids. But if I see anything like that, even movies and stuff, when there's a kid involved in something sad or sick, it gets me now. And I was never one to get emotional in movies and, friends and people would cry all the time in different sort of movies. And I'd be like, yeah, it's a bit sad, but it's fine. But I feel like it taps into cuts me a little bit now seeing that sort of stuff. So that's where I get emotional a bit.
Yeah, because if one day you might come to you and go, Dad, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Would you, what do you say then?
Yeah, well, that'd be a different conversation too. But I feel like I'd be, back in Dad's generation, I'm sure, now I didn't do this, and I'm probably speaking a little bit out of school because he didn't put him in this situation. But if I said that to Dad when I was younger, I reckon he'd be like, nah, you're right. You'll be right. You'll be right. Come with me. We'll go, he'd just get me busy again probably because he wouldn't know how to deal with it. That's how he would have dealt with it. But I feel like the generation, and I've spoke a bit about at the start, about there's been a real switch, I reckon, or a shift in mindset with mental health. And I think it's certainly going the right way. People are getting better and better. So I think if, my kids come to me, I'd be able to deal with it better. What I'd say, I'm not sure, but I'd at least, say that I'm fully supporting them and point them in the right direction, basically.
What's funny is it, because it's weird because since I've had kids too, I've had different conversations with mates that are now parents as well, that we wouldn't have had 5 years ago. We'd have been talking about beers and footy.
Yeah, it changes a bit, doesn't it?
It does. Bern, now that we've had this chat today, how did it feel sitting here with me to talk about it? Because obviously we're trying to spark the conversation for blokes to reach out, whether it be to Beyond Blue or whether it be to a mate and say, hey, look, I'm not okay. Mm. Was this uncomfortable for you today?
It was a little bit because I didn't have a great example or I feel like I didn't have a great story for you, which I thought you might have been sort of after. So, and like from our conversations when you first said about this, I was like, well, I don't really have, too many great stories for you, but we even just in the country, it's almost like a big family on York Peninsula. And only a few weeks ago, we lost a young kid. He was only about 20, I think, and it was just so sad because he played in the footy team on the weekend. I didn't actually know him, personally that well, but I knew his family, knew his dad, and, the same thing happened with his mum. So that family has just been torn apart, and it's, you think, geez, from an outsider, you think, how could it get that bad? But you can see if there's not the right support or, the people around him that he might have gone to a few people and, they might have just not pointed it or not had that conversation. It might have been a toughen up situation or, I don't like to speak on behalf of what happened there, but it just goes to show if you don't deal with these things right, you can have some pretty severe consequences. And obviously Spud Frawley was another one that did a lot of work with, and that's been, a couple of years now. But no one knew his battles. We knew because he'd come out and publicly said about his, depression and stuff. But that was a few years before, we lost him. So, and he was back and, he was always the life of the party. Always.
Were you shocked when you found out that news?
Yeah, shocked. I didn't believe it. Jars was the first one, actually, that texted me and said, is this true? And I was like, nah, it wouldn't be true. Wouldn't be him. And then obviously as the news come out a little bit more, get phone calls and stuff. And I was, yeah, well, I only worked with him on the, we actually did a Saturday night show because it was in the finals, it was in September.
Yeah.
And that was on like the Monday. So that was, I only just seen him. And he was, you know, on that show, The Bounce, it's an upbeat, like, you know, funny, take the piss sort of show. And he was the best at it.
Yeah.
He was, so, you know, we ask ourselves, well, I certainly do. I know the others do too, but they ask, well, could have we noticed something? Could have we have, you know, but he was just, they've got an amazing ability, someone in this situation, to put up a front. So it's like delving in or getting past that front. So, yeah, that was certainly a sad time and something that impacted me as well. I don't know why I didn't bring that one up earlier, but.
Is it something that, when you first found that out, you didn't believe it, but once it did sink in.
Yeah, not that I couldn't understand why. I was just like, why? Like, I thought was he different? Did he act any different this week? But obviously it doesn't just happen overnight. It's a build up for over a long period of time, and he just went back into, you know, the space that he was in because he was pretty bad a few years before that.
Mm.
And not that I knew the severity of it, but he obviously went back into that dark place that he was in, and we had no idea. So I just thought it certainly impacted me, but I was just my initial thought, and you know, for a fair while, was like, did we notice anything, and or could have we have done something type thing? But there's not, in that situation, if they don't talk, this is why you're encouraged to talk, because if you don't tell anyone or you don't know, maybe his immediate family did, but we certainly didn't realize where he was at,
you know. And that's where, this is what we're talking here at Triple M, is just to have that conversation, isn't it? Just to, you know, and look, I'm blessed as a bloke. I haven't been in a dark place like that, but you just hope that when those that are, if they could just reach out to their mate or Beyond Blue or something like that, or a friend or family, it might just save a life.
Because it's not their fault either. That's not, they can't help feeling that way, or the mental health issues. You can't go, oh no, I don't, just make a decision, oh, I don't want that. It can affect anyone. So the more we can, the people that we lose, like if they could just speak to people, or, you know, if it's a reason of, I'm tougher than this, and that's the only reason that they don't speak up, well, it's a waste. So if you can just encourage it as much as you can, and if you're the, it's not only, like, I'm talking more if people approach you too, because that's my situation. People have approached me about it and just sort of told me stuff, and that person is just as important as the person going through the actual, you know, health issue. So, and it's that you can be as crucial as, you know, sending them in the right direction or saying the right things at that time might just save someone.
One last question, Bern. You and I have worked together for nearly a couple of years now here at Triple M.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are all together and Jazz is there and Blue, we tell stories and we pile on each other. If I did take your side and I said, mate, look, I know we're together, but I'm not okay, what would you say to me?
Well, I'd probably firstly say, let's get away from those other bozos and get away from things. But it's a very good question, because I've only just recently sort of gone through this. So initially I wasn't shocked. I was just like, oh, really? You're feeling like that? And then it was more about, like, he knew the avenues and where to go with it and the right treatments and stuff. And the self-awareness, what I was speaking about before, was that's the reason he came to me, because he realized that something wasn't quite right. So, what would I say? I'm not sure.
You'd be there. Right?
I'll be there for you, 100%.
I say that, Boone, because, like, the boys, with what we talk about, you know, it'd be almost like, if I was really, really scared of you, you three, I wouldn't even go to you for that. But I've just proven then that if I wasn't okay, and I said, yeah, Burn, you'd be there for me.
That's a completely different situation, isn't it? Because you've got to be there for a mate. And obviously the confidentiality thing as well, you've got to be able to trust that mate you go to, and you've got to be, if you're that mate they're coming to, you've got to be confidential about everything. And just got to make the right decisions for that person and put yourself in their shoes, and probably just gather a bit more information about it as well and understand it. Because I was one of those people that didn't understand it for a long time, probably only up until the last couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah.
When people like I was, you know, closer to were affected by it. And I wanted to know more. I was like, well, what is this? And obviously there's a lot out there now, Beyond Blue and the big companies now that you hear about. So I think the support's there. Just it's I guess, galvanizing that support or sending someone in that right direction. Mm. But speaking up's the first thing. And it's not weak. You're not untough if you do speak up and hopefully you've got the right support around you.
Mm. Good on you. There we go. AFL legend and much loved member of this Triple M family, Bernie Vince. Thank you, mate.
No worries, Benny.
Triple M's Real Men Can Talk. Have the conversation today. If you are struggling or know someone who is, contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or visit beyondblue.org.au.